This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am in New Mexico, and I am with Nigel Gruck with Rhodesia. Nigel, how are you?
Oh, dandy, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Well, we had a wonderful day yesterday up at Los Alamos in the Bioscience Center and learned about some cool technology, but it was very interesting because I always tell everybody I'm a science nerd, and I was very fascinated when you started off the day talking about commercialization. I think a lot of people don't understand how research is done, how it's brought to market, and sort of that relationship between the research company and a company like yourself. So, Nigel, can you start off and talk about that process for commercialization?
Well, the first part is discovery, Joanna, because usually science isn't advertised very much. So the first part is understanding the route to understand who's doing the science and where it's being done. Now, the first most important part is that the discovery is correctly protected very early on. In order to be commercially viable, usually there has to be an intellectual property package around this, the discovery. So the first part is disclosure within the academic organization or research organization. So once that discovery is disclosed correctly, then the process of generating intellectual property can begin. And that's usually where we really like to participate. Once we understand the science and think it has potential, we like to get involved so we can help with the development of the intellectual property. So things that usually are not considered by the inventor, particularly things germane to the market, are embodied in claim language around the patents.
Well, one thing I found interesting is Los Alamos, which is a national laboratory that you've been doing a lot of work with, is this country's, you know, first step in terms of national defense. And most people know them from the Manhattan Project. And you wouldn't look at the Manhattan Project and think anything could have come out of that would be agriculture related, but that's not the case. So how do you, when they make these discoveries, how do you sort of ferret out, you know, which ones you that will have agricultural applications, and then how do you, once you know that, how do you then sort of change that science that they're working on so that you know it's going to work or might work?
Well, there's not any one process. A lot of it is relationship-based, and a lot of it you really come across these things through serendipity. However, with an organization like Los Alamos National Laboratory, they're very mission-directed. So unlike universities, they have a very, very clear focus on the research that they're doing. And it's not a sort of meandering route down the river. So once you know that, you sort of get an understanding of what the potential opportunities are for a technology, one that we saw yesterday, which was a laser-based technology deployed on Mars for really investigating the geology of Mars, but the application of that technology has huge impacts in terms of rapid soil sampling, which has been a huge limitation to precision agriculture. So the thing is, you have to have some vision. You have to be able to jump out of the box and think about what the potential applications are. Now, in the case of Takeoff, we really looked at that because the researchers that were involved in that were focused very intently on nitrogen management in plants. That work had its basis on isotopic research that has been conducted at LANL since the 40s. And so because of their work on isotopes and because they were the premier center for developing medical isotopes, a lot of that medical work was actually utilized for plant science, and that was really the incitant that led to this path of discovery that resulted in Takeoff being a product resulting from that research and now deployed into agriculture.
You did something a little bit different with Takeoff, and that is, we were talking a little bit before this interview about how you adjusted the formulas so that they can, that a grower can put it into a current product, correct? So can you talk a little bit about that? That's extremely unique in terms of this product. It's extremely unique in the for the agricultural industry.
Well, that's very correct, Joanna. We were very fortunate that this molecule has great potential to be incorporated in many, many different modes of application to crops. It can be put on seed, it can be incorporated as a formulant into herbicides or pesticides, or it can be applied on its own. One of the challenges you have in deploying a technology into agriculture is that you have to make the ease of adoption very seamless. Because if you significantly expect a grower to change his cultural practice, i.e. spray more, spray differently, different equipment, invariably that technology won't be deployed. So once you have really composed the educational statements around how you apply this, you really have to be very certain that the chemistry can be deployed in a form that minimizes any major change to his cultural practice. And then the pushback and the resistance to adoption is mitigated. And that's something that's very important in products, and it's very important in terms of how things can fail as well. Some of the best ideas are destroyed because the way to deliver them is just so difficult that growers won't adopt them. So it's very important for us to, A, make sure that this could be formulated into multiple platforms, two, that it could be deployed without major cultural change, and three, that we assembled a comprehensive education package that could be translated right down to the grower level. And those three tenets were critical in the commercial development of this product.
Well, and you have had a significant amount of early adopters who have been trying to take off. And I've been hearing from other reporters here that the growers who have used it are seeing phenomenal results. So one thing you always focused on, or you focus a lot on yesterday, was that the grower has to understand the benefits very clearly of the product. So can you let them know very clearly what those benefits are of takeoff?
Yes, indeed. So when we talk about broad acre agriculture, so the major, you know, crops as corn, soybeans and wheat, obviously the focus is on yield. That's critical, and the science around takeoff, once that's understood, and it can be distilled into really a few basic components, but the major crop gain is yield. Now, of interest, when you go into other crop systems, so for instance, takeoff has some significant impact on leaf protein because of the way it works, because it really is truly the only product that works in terms of assimilating nitrogen more effectively, and it's the only product on the market that works in the plant, that ultimately results in more leaf protein, which in forage crops are very important. They, you know, it really is, in that arena, it's about leaf protein. It's not necessarily yield. Now, in some crops we also work in, such as almonds or citrus or cherries, the focus there is in quality. And excess nitrogen has a huge role in deterioration of quality in fruits and vegetables and nuts. So there, the focus is not just yield, it's also quality. So depending on the crop system, takeoff can be deployed with, obviously the focus with takeoff is around increasing nitrogen efficiency. And that can mean yield gains, or it can mean increased quality gains in the crop. And it just depends on the crop system. But for the broad acre crops we typically find in the Midwest and the Plain States, it's really focused on yield gains and much better nitrogen use efficiency, which, as you know, generally, half of the nitrogen you use is not used by the crop and goes on either to pollute the atmosphere or either groundwater and water courses.
Well, Nigel, you've done a great job of educating a whole host of journalists this week, and I know our goal is to help start educating growers, but what is your next step as a company for Verdesian in terms of this educational process and teaching these growers about the chemistry of your product?
Well, you know, I'm a grower too, and the most important thing for me is that I optimize my inputs, and of course nitrogen is a huge part of that. And, you know, when I understand that half of the nitrogen that I put on is not utilized by my crop, the first issue that comes to mind is, my bottom line is suffering because of that. So it's very important to understand, A, from a cost input, that we're losing a big chunk of my inputs that are not going into my crop. Now, as you know, growers are wonderful shepherds of the land, and you know, we do not have we don't have cultural practices that we adopt that generally have a negative impact on what we do. We obviously do not do that, but sometimes as a consequence of what we do, that happens. So anything that can mitigate against that is generally seen very beneficially by growers. Now, going forward in agriculture, growers have become more sophisticated, they've become more regulated, and they have to really look outside of the conventional box in terms of the adoption of technologies that can integrate these new technologies that mitigate plant stress, help with nitrogen utilization, and ultimately increase their bottom line. And so our whole sort of thesis around this technology is, one, understanding the benefit to the grower. As a consequence of that, usually there's a benefit to the environment in terms of sustainability. And then the other part, which is enormous, is the communication of what that delivers to the grower. That's very, very important to us. And we believe this space of optimization of plant nutrition, mitigation of plant stress, is a huge area that's not being addressed as well as it should be in ag. And so in the future for us, as now, our pipeline is all evolved around that space. And so even though we have deployed Takeoff in the marketplace and it continues to be adopted broadly across a whole range of crops, we already have Generation 2 and Generation 3, which have not been commercially deployed, but are, you know, we have a calendar of their deployment going forward. So our hope is that we continue to improve and expand this space for the benefit through the complete distribution chain and ultimately to the grower.
Well, great. And Nigel, for those growers who are, in fact, listening to this interview and are ready to get this information and to understand the product, who should they call or where should they go for more information?
Well, the first resource is probably our website, which is Verdesian.com. If you just type in Verdesian.com, you'll get to our website. And then their local ag dealer, because basically there's a large awareness of the technology now through the dealer network, and that would be a first point of resource, but certainly our website will probably be the best resource initially to look at this.
Well, great, and I personally am looking forward to your upcoming announcement here on some of the new technologies that are coming through your pipeline.
Well, we're very excited about that, Joanna, too. So you guys will be the first to know. We're very excited about it as well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.